Hello? Okay. This is Saturday, July 12th. Oh, are we on the recording? He said we're good to go. Yeah. And this meeting is called to order. I have my old gavel. All right. Roll call, Craig.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I want to take a moment to introduce David Landau down there at the end. Ta-da! David is stepping into the seat that Tina Boschman vacated. So welcome. And let me just go through the roll call as usual with a little paper shuffling. Okay, so Alderson, I am here. Bernstein.
Here.
Bernstein is here. Edwards Tiekert. Edwards Tiekert is here. Urkola.
Here.
Urkola is here. Fuentes. Fuentes is not here. Gans.
President.
Gans is here. Goldmacher.
He sent an email. He's bad.
Sick? Okay, so Goldmacher will not be here. Goen. Goen is not here. Hernandez.
Yo.
Hernandez is here. Johnson.
Here.
Johnson is here. Coburn.
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil.
He's out of the area.
He's in New York.
Okay, Kurzweil is not here. Landau?
Here.
Landau is here. Moore?
Present.
Moore is here. Morgan?
She asked for an excuse,
Dad. Okay, Morgan is not here. Pritchett? Pritchett is not here. Sanders? Sanders is not here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Sterling.
Chia.
Sterling is here. Tao Nichols.
He's coming.
He's on his way. Tao Markham is not here for the moment. Tao Nichols is not here. Travis.
Here.
Travis is here. Welsh.
Here.
Welsh is here. Whipperman.
Here.
Whipperman is here. White.
He's not coming.
White is not here. Wilkinson.
I am here.
Okay, and Wilkinson is here. That's 16 present and a quorum.
Yes.
Just for the record, that Mel Sanders resigned from the FFCO board, and as a result, he also resigned from the position of the KFCF representative.
Okay.
Point of information, point of order, or something.
Sure. Go ahead.
I would really like to hear directly from Mel Sanders about what his status
yeah.
is.
Well, and I was just going to say that I don't think we can take hearsay for this. It's probably true. I don't know. I've written to him a few times. I haven't received a response. I wrote to him last week. What I was going to propose was that we excuse everybody but Mel Sanders as part of the roll call, and then continue to try to contact him if the bylaws say that if somebody is not excused and misses three meetings, then they're dropped from the board. So in the absence of hearing from him directly, if we want to resolve the seat, it seems to me that's the only way to do that.
If I may point out, the policies and guidelines of the Fresno Free College Foundation are that a member of the board is the only person that can be appointed to the position from our board. And as he has resigned, he has therefore resigned from that position.
Anyway, okay. All right. We're good. Do we have a motion on the excusing people who are not here?
So move.
I move that all those.
I move that everyone absent except for Mel Sanders be granted an excused absence.
Is there a second? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. What happened to my agenda? Okay. Everybody has the agenda in front of them. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda?
So moved.
Second? On discussion, Janet.
Yes, I'm referring to old business item A. This is a motion by Andrea Pritchett, who is not present, so I would think that we should table that till the next meeting.
Why don't we wait and see if she comes?
She's not going to come.
Oh, she's not coming.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Can't table a motion until it's on the floor. You got to wait till we get there.
Okay.
David?
Yeah, I'd like to, on the order of old business, I'd like to suggest that the resolution on sale of Pacifica licenses be moved first. It came up in May, at the May meeting, and the May meeting was canceled. And I would like to propose that that be considered first among the other items on old business.
Any objections? Seeing none, let's vote on the agenda with that amendment. Point of order, Mal, use the microphone.
On old business A, I seem to recall having authored a substitute motion which passed, I believe it was in February, to ask the general manager to come up with any rules and procedures on this subject. So it seems to me that this motion is not properly before us.
Why don't we talk about that when we get there or don't get there?
Okay.
All in favor of the motion of the accepting the agenda as changed, as amended?
C becomes A.
Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Back to the old habit that we had when I began chairing this board just 6 months ago of unanimous votes. Let us hope that continues. Enjoy it while you can. Okay. You want to do that now?
I would like to propose, I guess it's a motion, that we restore the August 9th meeting. We had, when we made a year's schedule, we had temporarily thought that might be a meeting we'd cancel. But since we canceled May, we're down one meeting already, and this August meeting is when we need to approve the budget for next year. So I'd like us to have an August 9th meeting.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Second. Janet?
Let me also support that, but we also will need to vote on the bylaws amendments during that meeting.
Okay. Good. So that's a second reason to have the meeting. Is there anybody speaking against it? All in favor of restoring the August 9th, 11 a.m.
Yes.
meeting, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Okay. You need the microphone?
I'm sorry. I just want to point out that if there are people here who want to speak during public comments, you need to put your name on a list, which should be back there somewhere.
Oh, thank you so much.
Where is the? Oh, maybe the list is up here. Okay. It needs to be gotten to those people. Thank you.
Okay. The minutes of the previous meeting. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes as written?
So move.
Second? Well, we're not voting on it yet. I just want a motion. We've got a motion. Do I have a second?
Well, I'll second it.
Okay.
Something to say about
it. All right. Why don't we take a minute, unless you want to.
I just want to note that under item 7, which was the interim general manager's report, I have the written report, which I circulated to folks, but Richard last month had also provided a map of coverage areas, which I overlooked. I didn't circulate that, so I will send that around to everybody after the meeting. I'll scan it and send it around, and that will be incorporated as part of the minutes that are posted on the webpage. Yes, yes. When I sent the minutes a couple days ago, I also sent all the related documents, and that includes Richard's report from last month. But as I noted, I failed to include the map of coverage areas.
Uh-oh. All right. Does anybody have any comments?
Use the microphone, please.
Yes. All right. Any amendments to the minutes, corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as written, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Announcements. Announcements. Janet.
Yes, I have two related. As you all know, Israel is currently...
Take the mic a little further away from your mouth.
Israel is currently bombing Gaza, and Israel is persisting in continuing its colonization of Palestinian land. The people of Gaza have nowhere to go. They cannot leave Gaza. They have no bomb shelters or anything, so they are like fish in a tank being shot at, done by... It's against international law what Israel is doing. There have been protests. There is one happening at noon today in San Francisco, starting at Embarcadero BART. I wish I were there. I wish I could clone myself. This is Arab Youth Organization calling on our community and allies to take a stand with Palestine and let the city of San Francisco, it's in San Francisco, know that we demand an end to the U.S. support of Israel and their ongoing attacks on our people throughout all occupied Palestine. And then the other related announcement, I understand Brian is going to be having the Israeli consulate on his Monday morning show. I'm curious how that came about, whether you approached the consulate.
That's not an announcement.
Right, but I, yeah, in any case, so maybe we can find out more about that. I'd like to talk about that later.
Other announcements? Paula, Joy, Cynthia. Lewis, could you give Paula?
You know, Israel has a right to defend itself is the slogan, but it's Israel has a right to be brutalizing the Palestinian people for years and years and years, and that's what gets left out of their comment. Now, in regards to the Andy Lopez situation, I went to a three-hour meeting with the task force, and there were about 100 people, and we all had a turn at the mic. We're very upset because our cowardly DA, Jill Ravitch, is not charging Deputy Gelhaus with anything. And so there's fear in the community. The Latino youth are feeling very disillusioned, as well as all the other youth are already disillusioned anyway. And it's just an outrage that the man has gotten off. And he's, you know, it's sort of a shoot to kill policy and a militarization of our police forces, as we saw in the Occupy movement. Just on a lighter note, on Al Jazeera News, the Finnish wife carrying contest was on Al Jazeera News, which has been a long tradition in Finland. And basically, you know, you put your wife over your shoulder and you go through a long obstacle course. And I think it's kind of interesting that in Finland, the women there were the first to get the vote. I think it was 1906.
Wait a minute. We're doing announcements, but go ahead.
I was just trying to a lighthearted announcement at the end of this horrible stuff. And 50% of the women have to be in the parliament. And the Finnish mythology are denigrated sorceress witch. When the men heroes started going on the warpath, she turned into an eagle and capsized their boat.
Right on.
I have to say.
Joy.
I just wanted to make an announcement that the Healthy Child Initiative has passed the first hurdle, and it will be on the November ballot.
All right.
I was hoping that I could get the support of this board for this initiative. It would put 1 penny ounce tax on sweetened beverages, go a long way to educating people about the hazards of sugar. The resolution is ask the board for its unanimous support of this initiative, and I'm asking people to volunteer if they can. Go to Berkeley versus Big Soda. We need people to phone bank. We need money. We need people to canvass.
As I understand it now, and somebody who has a better understanding of Robert's rules can connect, correct me, we have 2 resolutions that are now sort of been raised, but I think that they really belong in new business.
That's fine.
Okay, so there's one on Palestine and one on the Big Soda.
Thank you.
I'm presuming this is live streamed. What's that? I don't want any of us to go this afternoon because we have to be here, but we have our 25th annual Pastors for Peace caravan this afternoon at the Berkeley Fellowship Cedar and Bonita. And some of you may have heard Red Welsh on the Saturday morning talkies. You can come tonight to the Berkeley Fellowship, 7 o'clock. Terrific CD, really terrific. They played so you must get this, the best gift you could give to anybody. The CD is called Class War. And tomorrow, Sunday the 13th, we have a part of the Labor Fest tomorrow night at the Berkeley Fellowship. You can always go on laborfest.org. The whole month of July are terrific things going on.
Margie.
Well, I was going to talk about
a microphone.
I'm sorry. I was going to talk about the same thing Joy mentioned. I just put the Berkeley versus Big Soda. If you Google that, you'll go to the website for the... It's up there on the board, Berkeley versus Big Soda. And it takes you to the Healthy Child Initiative website. And this is a very exciting thing. If we manage to pull it off in Berkeley, we'll be the first place that's done it. And we're waiting with bated breath to see what the beverage industry is going to do and what their response is going to be, because they've spent big bucks defeating this elsewhere.
All right, Janet. Announcements. We're in announcements.
I had announced last time that this place had been sprayed, and I don't know if that was followed up on.
No, I totally forgot. Brian.
So Monday at 7:30, after we air a half-hour interview with Max Blumenthal, we're going to be having the Israeli Consul General on the air on KPFA. We see it as part of our mission on up front to have people in positions of power on and ask them challenging questions. And we will be taking called in listener questions in case my questions are not challenging enough. So I encourage people to tune in. It should be very interesting.
Okay. Any other announcements? Seeing none. We are now at public comments. And I have... I couldn't read your name. Virginia Brown. Browning.
Right. Timekeeper.
No.
How much time per?
We've got a 3-minute. Is that right? Or who's the timekeeper here?
I'll do it.
Can you put it so that, okay, go ahead, you're the timekeeper.
Okay,
go ahead,
hi. I see Richard Perotsky still here. I thought that the new GM would be there, but I'm sure we'll hear about that. So I still want to object to the so-called report that he gave last month, which, obviously there are some people that didn't want the morning mix to be taken off the air for maybe stupid reasons. But so instead of talking about the fact that... Is this on?
Yes.
It sounds like it's not. No. Instead of talking about the fact that many of us have called for dialogue, meetings to discuss things, to have the paid and unpaid staff work together for years, he chose to use that to take a little emblem by some stupid... sounding people and globalize everybody that wanted the morning mix on to as if they all were represented by that narrow one or two people. It was really, really hurtful and snide. Some of us have worked really hard for this radio to be a media that could be used for activism and not just for talking heads to kind of lecture at people. And even though I am one person that thinks the morning mix should be improved, I think the way to improve it would have been to have paid production assistance to those community members. I don't think it's right to have one or two voices doing a majority of the stuff on the air, like, for example, during the fund drives. As far as the news goes, the news department basically controls KPFA to those, I can't go into how I know this now because it's a long 30-year story. And managers don't even have the keys to some of the things they should have because of some of the people in the news department there. So this news, while it does have some good things on it, there's some kind of discipline behind the scenes. Instead of having town hall discussions where people can have discussions about important things like Israel, there's a small group behind the scenes that decides which things are going to trickle out and which things are not going to trickle out. So we have things on the news, such as the reporting on Israel, that really does emphasize the Israeli point of view, and maybe they'll have once in a while something about the Palestinians, but they didn't announce that protest, I don't think, on the news, and they can legitimately announce something like that. So I know I sound disjointed. I hate doing this. I've been sick for a week, but the new guy should realize that there's a long history of disinformation by some of the Boy Scouts at the station that maybe Girl Scouts too. Boy and Girl Scouts that otherwise seem to be so wonderful and together because they have so much backing behind them and they can afford to do that. They're not all what they seem.
Daniel.
Yes, I'm Daniel Borgstrom. I was here last month and I believe that was Richard Perotsky's last month here. That was his last month. And he gave a 20-minute report, which was a classic in kiss-assing. He channeled everything, anything, and everything that Save KPFA could possibly want to hear. I listened to that and said, well, that's what the guy has to do to keep his job. Everybody from Save KPFA, and I got to say, Save KPFA, that's not the correct name. That's a name that was stolen, but still, that's the name that Save KPFA goes under today. We're very proud of him, applauding him, and then... the strangest of thing happened. I guess you all heard about it. There was an announcement that Bernard Duncan, the temporary ED, in his last 5 or 10 minutes in office, fired him. Huh? Huh? That fired Richard Perotsky. That Bernard Duncan in his last, I don't know, 5 minutes, fired Richard Brodsky. Now, that's no way to treat a kiss ass. Is this real? I must be getting something wrong. And now I come here and see, he fired him. That is from the station in Los Angeles. So I see him still here. Now, maybe during the PNB report, what I'm kind of guessing, what I'm expecting to hear is an announcement that Richard Brodsky, being the truly good kiss ass that he is, will now be rewarded with being the new ED. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nancy Pollan.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pollan. I wanted to make some comments about a discussion that happened at this board meeting last month. I believe it was last month. But anyway, very recently. And it was about the KPFA speaker series that is so really beautifully organized by Bob Baldock and Ken Preston. And I listened to it, and there was a lot of questioning of the financial viability of it. I'll just sum it up that way. There's a lot of questioning about, you know, accountability around it and all this kind of thing. The tone of that discussion, in my view, was a questioning of the value of the speaker series. And I just want to say that I don't have all the financial information. I mean, it's not something I'm going to start talking about. But I also think that when I went home and I thought about it later, and I thought about all of the speaker events that I had been at, and I go to most of them because I volunteer at the KPFA outreach table there. And I hear these speakers, and I see the folks coming in, and I have a really good sense of the turnout and how big it is, how sometimes not as big as we'd like it to be, but really a very successful series. And I realized what was missing in that discussion last month was the value of that program, that speaker series, that is not financial, that is about KPFA being associated with the people who speak at those events. And think about it. These are really, really, really major kind of authors and thinkers and people with very, very exciting and interesting perspectives on a lot of the issues that KPFA is about and that a lot of our social movements are about. And, you know, I'm just remembering some of them and the feeling in the room. When Jonathan Kozol spoke and the place was absolutely packed, many of the people there were public school teachers because he was speaking about education in this country and what it's done to our children and what it, you know, the failures of the educational system. Especially for poor children. That's what he was addressing. And for me and the work I do, that's extremely important, and I hope it is for everybody, no matter what your age and whether you have children or not. That's just one example. You know, when Van Jones spoke, he spent the first 10 minutes of his thing just praising KPFA, saying KPFA was always there when we were fighting against police brutality and all of that. We've had Isabel Allende. We've had, the last speaker was Fritjof Capra, and I said, well, I never heard of the guy. And I was there, and I was absolutely amazed at how brilliant he was and how wonderful, and they had to set up extra chairs for the turnout
time.
Of that event. I just want to say the value is not just about the money. The value is about what these speakers bring to us. Thank you.
30 seconds.
What is that sign, a 30-second sign? I can't see it. Okay, it's a 30-second sign. Okay. It's Ramses' fault. I just want to note for the record that Ramses has arrived, and so has Jose Luis. And Sasha Futrin.
I don't think you get to make a public comment. You get to talk for 4 or 5 hours. Hi, I'm Sasha Futrin. And I want to say that Ralph Nader is coming up at the end of this month, and that those programs are mostly, that Bob Baldock puts on are mostly sold out, and then those speeches are used as premiums that are very, very popular and bring in money. But I actually wanted to talk about something else, and that's the kind of negative PR that some people are involved with, both here at the station, who are on the board, and people who are not on the board, and the misinformation that's being put out, and in particular of concern to me, and I think should be to all of you, are the resolutions that are being schlepped around in the community, in the activist community. And I think you're going to learn today some things about, in your PNB reports, about the state of finances for all the stations. And I think all of you know that we're just making it. We don't have excess money. Well, the other four stations are not. So when you're dragging out all this negative PR here locally, if KPFA doesn't make it financially in its fund drives, that's the end of Pacifica. And I think you ought to stop and think about whether that's really what you want. I think you should do some fact-checking. I heard today that Richard was fired, and I don't believe that is the case at all. And some other thing that the two of you back there got wrong. And you're picking up your information, and I would suggest that you stop and think where you're picking that up from, and that you do a little checking into the accuracy of what it is that you're reading and hearing. Because I'm not kidding you, we could lose this. And we could lose it here, and we could lose it across the country. And I hope some of you stop and think. Thank you.
As we said years ago. Oh, wait a minute. All right. Let's see. Does anybody else who has not spoken want to speak? There's nobody else on the list? Okay. Now we get to the general. What? Point of personal privilege. Let's hope. Huh?
Never mind.
Go ahead.
Well, just that the previous speaker was referring to some members of this board doing something, and I don't know what the evidence is, but that's.
Okay. General Manager's report.
Quincy McCoy hoped to be here. However, he is still in New York. He won't be returning until Sunday. He will be, his first day on the job will be Monday the 14th. He and I will be at the station together for that first week. He's going to be faced with some difficult conditions at the station, as all the managers are throughout the network. I do hope that when he is obliged to say things that you don't wish to hear, that you're able to at least understand and empathize with where he's coming from, what his responsibilities are, who he is working for, what he is trying to accomplish. Obviously, he will be able to do very little that everyone wants or likes. I think it would help his tenure. I think it would probably make him a more effective general manager if you showed him that empathy and maybe refrained from name-calling or other things that might not necessarily be necessary. On July 28th, KPFA will start its summer fund drive. It will end on August 8th. This will be the first time that KPFA has used a full phone service. It is following in the footsteps of WBAI, WPFW. KPFK is also using a full phone service. This is the natural extension after the success of using the rollover service. There are steps even after this fund drive that might improve. I think some of you know Otis, who works for the national office. He wrote a program that WPFW used with some degree of success, which actually improves upon the full phone service and makes it more Pacifica-centric in many ways. That might be the next step for the fall fund drive. We'll see how it works with the summer fund drive. Because we are going to a full phone service, it doesn't mean that we will always be with a full phone service. The purpose of it is to try to adapt the fund drive to the conditions that exist now at the station, including cash flow, and what we have to put up front, and what we can pay off later when more money comes in. It is possible that after doing a full phone service this time, and maybe trying to expand with the full service in the fall, that we may go back, if it has been successful, we may go back to a more modified system where we, instead of using the volunteers for other areas of fund drive operations and fulfillment, that they go back to the phones. There are some services that, and basically there are programs and equipment that could help accomplish this and perhaps improve upon the use of volunteers on the phones. That remains to be seen. Unfortunately, right now, what we would need to accomplish that is beyond our means. The Summer Fund Drive, everyone should expect to be successful. We simply need to manage approximately $30,000 a day, which is about what KPFA is able to manage to average. For the last 2 weeks of the drive, you will be in sync with KPFK in Los Angeles. More and more, when the two stations work together, they do better, both of them. We hope this is a trend that can continue. Down at KPFK, I'm often accused of holding KPFA up as an example of the way things are supposed to be. And while I'm not personally cognizant of that, it may well be that others perceive that. So I will do something that I guess the folks down at KPFK would appreciate. I'll turn it around. There is something that happened at KPFK that I think would be of interest to this LSB. There was a longtime supporter who stood up at the LSB meeting, and she railed, she used the word railed, I'm not quite sure if that's the accurate description, but she says she railed at the LSB, saying that when it comes to not-for-profits, she felt the KPFK LSB was virtually the only one she could think of that didn't deem itself responsible for revenue generation. At that particular point, the KPFK treasurer stood up and said he agreed and that he would like to start a development task force. And that's what happened. They decided that they would do they would set up a development task force. Now, unlike a lot of committees and task force that are set up, this particular one made an outreach over the air and in any other way to people with experience in the development community, grant writers, people who do publicity, people who do special events, things like that. And that is the group that met, about 10 folks, at the station just this past week. I should say that the task force is not the first time KPFK has tried this. But from what I gather from folks who were around the last time, some of the mistakes made the first time were corrected this time. And I was encouraged in talking to the grant writers who showed up, and the folks who have done promotional activities, who have handled special events. The level of expertise gave me a great deal of confidence that this is something that will work for the Los Angeles station. As some folks have already mentioned, there is a great deal of concern throughout the network for finances. As someone who has been at two stations, I can tell you that we can improve with regard to the revenue that we generate via fund drives. But we cannot improve enough unless we do more development in the areas of off-air revenues. So I do hope that this particular LSB might want to keep tabs on how things go down in Los Angeles, check in with the sister station, and see if something along the lines of what they're putting together could work up here. A couple of people have addressed my departure. I thought maybe I probably should do something about that. Last Saturday, I received a phone call from Bernard Duncan. He had mentioned, he referenced in the phone call talks that he and I have had over a period of a couple months now with regard to cuts needed at both stations. And he referenced the rather dire straits that the national office is in with regard to finances. And he said that there was one more cut he felt he needed to make before the others went into place. And he told me that when I returned to Los Angeles after finishing handing off KPFA to Quincy, that my tenure with Pacifica as a whole will come to an end. At that particular time, in fact, actually right now, Zuberry Fields is serving as interim general manager and operations director. And Bernard is right. It is saving the station money. It is also not the last cut. And I think in terms especially of an organization like Pacifica, when cuts are going to be made, it is probably best to do so starting at the top. I think if you're going to ask people who have sacrificed for a long time and tell them that now their jobs are lost, they've worked very hard for a long period of time without much money. It's been important to them. It's been a very rewarding service to them in terms of what they've been able to accomplish. And it would be wrong if we were to say, we're going to get rid of you, but we're going to keep management at a level that we can't sustain either. After Bernard spoke with me on the phone, he sent me an email. And again, he reiterated the concerns that he had about the finances. And most appropriately, he referenced that I am an interim general manager, the most at-will of at-will employees. He can give any reason or no reason as to why my tenure should come to an end. He then contacted the LSB by email, and he gave no reason. He simply said my tenure was coming to an end. Anything else is speculation. We're all free to speculate. I don't know that it changes things very much. I think at the last meeting I mentioned that Pacifica was not my first employer and that it wouldn't be my last. And quite frankly, I'm concerned that unless there are some very dramatic changes, Pacifica is not going to be anybody's last employer. So I do hope that not just KPFA, but all the stations understand the straits we're in. I certainly hope all the governing bodies understand that there are some very difficult decisions ahead and that they need to be made quickly. I do want to say that I've enjoyed my time with Pacifica, that I can't say I enjoyed every single moment or every single aspect of it. Thank you. But, you know, it's kind of like playing baseball again. You don't like every single aspect of it. You don't like it when you make an error or you strike out. But for the most part, it's a very rewarding experience. If you love the game, you stay in it for as long as you can. And you appreciate what it is you can accomplish. I'm not quite sure what the future is for me. I don't know that anybody can ever be terribly sure of the future. I do remember what someone told me a long time ago about employment. He said it's just like any other relationship, you know? It's always going to come to an end, and about the only thing you can do is be kind of gracious about it. because it really doesn't do any good to be otherwise. And it's interesting. I think in terms of being divorced, and I remember that process, and it's not a very pleasant one, but it can be very amicable, as it was in my case. In fact, I stayed in touch with my ex fairly regularly for about 10 years afterwards, and then we lost touch, as it happens. She had been viewing things on the internet, and she spotted my departure. And so, after almost 10 years, she gave me a call and asked me how I was doing. And no, it's coming to an end. She said, "Well, okay, that's all right. You know, but listen, since we're both in the LA area, why don't we get together again?" Oh, okay. I've got some free time now. I might as well, you know. So, quite frankly, folks, if you had asked me at any time, especially since, you know, goodness knows, at Pacifica we always conduct things confidentially. So the fact that she even heard about it is just amazing. But if you had asked me whether I was ever going to talk to my ex-wife again, let alone have dinner with her or lunch, I probably would have said no. But that's the thing, you just never know. And so when people talk about, you know, knowing the future and you know, I'm leaving Pacifica and I'll never be back, I'd say there's a good chance of that, but by the same token, you don't know. I was turned down back in 2009 for the ED position, and then several years later I got a phone call telling me to come out here. As I say, folks, we can all speculate, but we just don't know. And I'm willing to see what the future holds, and I hope it is a good future for all of us. Thank you.
Okay. I think that there'll be a few questions. I suggest that we do what we do with this, is that we gather some questions, and then Richard can answer them together rather than one at a time and back and forth. Joy, Craig, Brian.
Thank you for your report, Richard. I'm glad to hear that KPFK came up with a strategy that we've been arguing for on this side for a long time, development task force, development committee, development anything. I've been saying this since day one, and nobody here would listen to me. Instead, we got Goldbusters, and you promoted Goldbusters too. I'd like a report from you. I asked it for it last time. How much Goldbusters cost us and what they did for us? I haven't heard it yet. I always hear you talk about potentially what they could do, and I haven't heard any. So I would like to hear that from you before you leave. Thanks.
Craig.
You mentioned a full-service phone, full phone service, I think. And I'm just wondering if you could describe that, explain what that is, if it's a company we're using, what's the company, you know, just filled out the details on that.
Well, I guess I'll be the one who thanks you for all your time at KPFA. I have never in my life heard anyone be so gracious about being laid off. And it is certainly not our custom or our culture within Pacifica. And I'm as guilty as the next person on that front. I just want to say, I think most people of the station, was very suspicious of you when you came in because of the circumstances under which you came in. You were the second manager who'd been kind of airdropped on us by Pacifica. And while I, like most of the people on this board, probably disagree with some things you've done, I have never doubted your motives, your diligence, or your commitment to the well-being of the station. So I really want to emphatically thank you for the time you've put in and for what you've done while you've been here. And as you know, because we've discussed it privately, I'm very dubious about closing down the phone room during fund drives, about demobilizing our volunteers, and about using a service that may wind up costing us more than we save. So I would like to hear what your thinking is on the cost benefit of switching to the call service.
With regard to how much Goldbusters has cost us over the years, I would definitely ask the business office to simply release the numbers from the contract. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. As to what they did and what they tried to do, they did something that I thought was vitally important, and I'm finding out how important down at KPFK and not here. They actually went about telling people that there really are ways of doing things during a fund drive that are effective, and there are any number of things that can be done that are far from effective and, in fact, are damaging. It turns out that for some time we were doing any number of those damaging things, and we weren't following some of the structures, some of the best practices that are available to us. Goldbusters brought those best practices to us. They made certain that anyone who was interested in learning them, in practicing them, and in some cases in working with Goldbusters on air to accomplish them, did so. I think when we look at the successes that the station has had, they contributed to that. When we look at some of the things that didn't work, they also contributed to that. When I look at what I was told and what I saw in the contract numbers at the time, I felt in terms of the money that we were spending compared to what it would cost, as Andrew had pointed out, to bring in a full-time director of marketing development, start things up from scratch, learn the area and everything else. I don't know that I obviously that's something that we're still working toward, and I think it will still happen, and it will be the best. But as I said about the fund drive and everything else, you have to work with what you've been given and the way things are. And quite frankly, I don't think KPFA had the money or the time to do that. I think because of Goldbusters, KPFA is closer to getting that full-time director of marketing development and having that person be effective. And if nothing else, there has been a great deal of learning about what will be necessary and what needs to be addressed. I touched on some of those things last time, especially with regard to the trust issue. With regard to a full phone service, what that means is that for those people who call the numbers requested, they will be answered by a company called ComNet. ComNet was the company that ran the rollover service that we used the last time. I believe during my last report I explained the numbers, both pre- and post-rollover service. And as I mentioned at that time, we were leaving money on the table because we were losing calls that the rollover service picked up. The full phone service, yes, does cost us, but it costs us down the line. In other words, there's no upfront money that we need to worry about. We are charged X number of cents per minute of each call. Based on the results that we got during the rollover service, those minutes were worth paying for. They generate a lot of money. In addition, they are trained to do things in a way that is most helpful. In other words, when we had volunteers, there was a broad dynamic range in terms of the abilities of the volunteers on the phones and a marked discrepancy between the quality of the work they did. It is more uniform with the rollover service, and since we're going with the same company, we expect them to have the same people in place for that as well, or at least the same level. There's also a concern about when people call in and they're volunteers that this is the time to talk about the station. This is the time to ask questions about programming. This is the time to, you know, give your opinions about things like that. And quite frankly, I mean, it might be very comforting to talk to a station volunteer about this, but during a fund drive, that's absolutely the worst time to do it. The people answering the phones need to take the pledge and then move on to the next one. And if we're bogging people down in conversation, that's not good. And so we would periodically, even when we had a number of volunteers in the room, we would get calls coming over saying, we need more volunteers. It isn't, though, something where we're going to say, well, we don't need volunteers at all during the pledge drive, just the opposite. Phil and the subscriptions team have any number of things that volunteers will be doing. We will still have off-air coordinators working as well. There are aspects to station operations in general, to operations related to the fund drive itself, and especially to fulfillment of the fund drive, that we will now be able to use the volunteers more effectively on. And this is critical, not so much here, but throughout Pacifica. Our fulfillment has come into question, let's say. We are churning listeners because they simply are fed up with the fact that what they pledge for doesn't arrive in a timely fashion. There are any number of reasons for this, and quite frankly, we don't have the human resources right now, certainly on paid staff, to handle all this. The volunteers will be able to help. We are concerned about some of the changes that will go into effect. For example, we will need to get accurate numbers from ComNet in terms of who is calling at this particular time. There are some folks who use this as a gauge to see how effectively they're pitching. We will have a system in place that will inform those who are on the air how many people are calling in response at a given time. If we go to the program that I had mentioned before that Otis McClay has put together for the other Pacifica stations, we will know more. We will know in instantly how that is working. But for now, we're going to use ComNet system, and there is a slight delay. All the programmers and pitchers will have the chance to learn of the changes, to practice, and to work with subscriptions to make sure that this is smooth. There are some added benefits that happen with a full phone service, and that is our prep time. I know it's true of KPFK and to some degree KPFA, where any number of programmers kind of let deadlines slide, let things happen at the last minute, throw things open in terms of add-ons, just because things were going a little bit slow. You need to do a better job of preparing yourself and the station when you're using an outside service. They don't move as quickly. They can move quickly, but not as quickly as instantaneous. And it imposes a discipline that has been lacking, especially at K, but even up here too. I would say, folks, that this is one more thing where we are trying to do something differently. We are trying to deal with cash flow shortages and essentially improve things at the same time. I don't know if this is going to work. The first time we used a rollover service, it was not as effective as we had hoped. It got some calls. It didn't get all of them. The next time we did the rollover service, it worked exceedingly well, and I gave you those numbers in the last report. This is something we simply have to try. We will hopefully have other options in terms of improving upon the full service or perhaps going back to what we used to use. But for now, this is something we need to try.
I have an additional clarification.
Okay, wait a second.
Janet, Joy, anybody else? Frank, Janet.
Okay, well, while we're still on the phone room topic, I have some other things I want to say, but I support having community come in and answer phones and participate. However, I understand there's some issue about the appropriateness or whatever the legality of taking credit cards and some issues that haven't been thought of or whatever, so I'd like you to address that. And then I would like to thank you for your service. I didn't always agree with a lot of the things you did and why you did them. I think it was a very difficult job that you had. I mean, stretched between two stations for a long period of time. I thought you worked very hard, and I think you're a strong manager. I would like to know, if you would, what you think is the most important thing that you accomplished positively, and what you think was your biggest failure, and any recommendations going further if you choose to.
Joy, and then Frank.
Richard, I didn't ask specifically, but are we done with Goldbusters? Their contract is done, or are we continuing to use their service?
Just go. One thing I wanted to know was when you said Q is coming on Monday, but is there a set meeting when like the LSB or the staff is going to have a meeting to meet with him, or is that just going to wait till he gets here and then decide? So like, are we going to meet him officially one day? And you said there's going to be a new, the phone service is happening and there's a delay in whatever, but is there going to be like, well, I know you're working on a system with Otis or whatever Otis is doing. But is there like a way that we'll be able to like get names of listeners and like, because a lot of times what we do is shout out the listeners who donate. Thank you to Richard in Berkeley. Thank you to everybody else wherever you are. So I was curious if that'll still be able to happen. And I think that's it for now.
Anyone else? David?
I know on some shows the host will say, all right, we got three listeners on the line. Now we got five. And so it generates an excitement that, you know, that people feel, well, now I want to call. So to what extent is that going to be missing from this new regime?
Richard.
Yes. Folks, there's a term in the credit card industry called PCI compliance. There are certain practices that help you maintain it. There are certain practices that work against it. The idea is that if a station is, or any entity, is PCI compliant, it is providing the most secure system for people to give money. Obviously, the credit card industry takes a dim view when people are on the phone and they write down numbers on a card and those cards are passed along. With the full phone service, as with the rollover service, that doesn't happen. The phone answerers take the information directly and type it into a computer. There are no cards used whatsoever. This makes it more secure. No one is going to give a donation and then have those numbers on that card pop up where they don't belong. In addition, the full phone service makes it possible to charge the card instantaneously. That means that instead of, you know, charging it later on and then finding out that it's not valid and having to get back to the person, we can find out immediately while the person is still on the phone. As I say, there are any number of advantages to using a full phone service. And the other stations that have used it in the past, PFW, BAI, and I'm not saying any system is perfect, but for whatever flaws a full phone service has, they have so far declined to go back to the option that they had before. With regard to the Goldbusters contract, it runs out in September. They are still working with us in terms of the comprehensive campaign, in terms of the harvesting of major donors and things like that, but I have not received anything from either Alice or Jim in terms of a proposal for extending their relationship or anything else. They still have another month to do that, but when last I spoke with them, they made no mention of it, and they said that they would, you know, give it some consideration. But no, it runs out, and then that's it. With regard to Quincy and meetings, I'm afraid in terms of the LSB, it will probably have to wait until next month's meeting. I don't see holding a special meeting before then, especially with all the announcement requirements and everything else. However, Quincy has said that he is going to make himself available, and so if any of you are able to call him, email him, ask for time to meet with him individually or in small groups, I think he'd be more than amenable to that. I'm sorry, Joy, I don't have it off the top of my head. I can give it to you when I get back to the office.
I think it's Q at KPFA.
Q?
I think so.
How do you spell that?
Smart ass.
Part of the handoff process is to take Quincy around the station. We will be having meetings with various staffers and programmers, various groups, and even those who work outside the station will be meeting with Quincy as well. With regard to, we have three listeners online now. We have five. Yes, that's still possible. When people place the call and it is entered into the computer, in other words, as the person is typing it in, the information can be relayed back to the studio. Now, as I say, it's not instantaneous or anywhere near as instantaneous as Otis's improvement is, but it is a very short lag time. And so, yes, you know when more people are on the lines and when they are not. In addition, the names of those folks, yes, they do pop up on the screen, and you can thank them in that way. The most important accomplishment that I made is also my biggest failure, if that makes sense. I think even though it probably never appeared to be this way, I, from day one, was not making decisions based on personal likes and dislikes or any kind of political agenda or any kind of political agenda of any given caucus or faction or anything else. As I mentioned last week, essentially, the general manager has responsibilities that no other entity at the station has. If you abdicate that responsibility, if you turn it over to your own personal likes and dislikes or to another group or something else, you're not serving the interests of the station. And quite frankly, your employer or your supervisor, who is in this case the ED, is going to tell you that you're probably not doing a good job. So I still feel as though in a very hyper-political environment, I still was able to conduct matters in a way that really wasn't dependent on politics. But that is also the biggest failure, because when you're in a very political environment, people judge things on the basis of political wins and losses. And I was never, ever able to convince, well, let's say as many people as I needed to, that that's not the best way to measure things. In other words, if you look at the overall health of the station and what we were able to do under the circumstances with the resources we have, that's the best way to measure things. And I don't necessarily think that it is a bad thing for people to think like a manager in that respect, to think in terms of the station as a whole and not just individual aspects that have personal or political appeal.
Well, thank you, Richard. I guess this is the last time you'll be with us, and I want to also say...
I've tried this two times to get out of here, and you people keep pulling me back. So I'm going to take you at your word this time, Carol.
Okay. And I want to join the others who have thanked you and recognize what a tough task it is walking into this place and dealing with all of the tensions and forces and pulls. Thank you so much. Yeah. We actually have a break on the agenda, but I don't know if people want to take that. I would just as soon plow forward. However, Maria isn't here, and she's going to be here for the treasurer's report. What I would like to do, if people would agree with this, is push up the PNB report. What do you think?
It's not only that Maria's going to be here for that discussion. She's bringing the reports, okay. So we don't have anything to distribute yet.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway, okay. Can we plow forward with PNB? Yes. Da da da. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're doing that. Okay. Who's doing the various PNB reports? Brian, why don't you start, and then I'm sure Janet will have something to say.
I don't know where to pick up because I don't know what you all presented last month when I was missing from the meeting. I guess I'll go over the area that I've been spending the most time on. I'm chairing the National Board's Finance Committee now, which is the state of finances. So Pacifica's CFO has had full access to all the accounts and books for a little less than 3 weeks at this point. They're a complete mess. Almost none of the cash transactions, the deposits and wire transfers in the national office have been entered in the accounting system since the beginning of the fiscal year, which is October 1st, 2013. There is some evidence of questionable transactions that took place during that time. Payrolls have not been entered in the accounting system since March, and the entire network's payroll is run out of the national office. So that's 12 payrolls that have gone unentered. The audit schedules that need to be compiled before the external auditors can start their work had not been collected and compiled. We'd been given to understand that national office staff were working on that, but there's no evidence of that work taking place before the past few weeks. And now basically it is a race against time for him and the financial staff in the national office to get an audit done or close enough to done that we can meet the final extended deadline for filing our tax return, which is August 15th. There's been a lot of churn in the staff at the national office. Two people who had been hired by Summer Reese have resigned. Third has voluntarily taken an unpaid leave. Luckily, the national office has been able to reinstate two people who used to work there as accountants. One of them I've worked with personally when I was treasurer of this board and know to be very competent and hardworking. I say good news because they're people who come in knowing how our systems work and they don't have to waste any time getting up to speed. And in aggregate, we are spending less on salaries in the national office now than we were before. We've also been discovering bills that have been left unpaid for as long as a year. We usually discover them when something gets shut off, like the conference call service that's used for national board meetings. It was not a huge bill, but it had gone unpaid for close to a year, and we found out when our call service stopped working, and other services as well. The network is extremely tight on cash right now. Without accurate financial statements, which we can't get until all the transactions I was just describing have been input into the network's system, we can't tell how much of that is because we're running a structural deficit, in other words, spending more than we can raise, and how much of it is a cash flow problem from our having payments from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting delayed. We haven't had any payments from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for a year and a half now. Specifica was not able to satisfy them that we had come into compliance with their funding requirements, mostly surrounding open meeting notices. My understanding, and Margie would be in a better position to weigh in on this than I am, is that Pacifica's attorney who deals with this feels we've documented adequately that we've come into compliance at this point, but we're basically, because we blew so many deadlines, at CPB's mercy when it comes to how much money they'll give us and when they'll give it to us. And this year's money we won't get until we complete an audit. So last year's money is about $400,000 for the network. The installment of this year's money that we would already have in hand if we had done everything on time, we think is in the vicinity of another $600,000 to $700,000. So it's about $1 million that's up in the air there. The only other good news, and we can't go into too much details because it's an ongoing negotiation, but there is a negotiation taking place in New York at WBAI, which is our most financially troubled station, that looks likely to save the station a large amount of money in the multiple six figures per year going forward. Which may make it possible to stop the bleeding in New York. There's a whole slew of bylaw amendments that are pending before the National Board at next week's meeting on next Thursday. Check them out. The local boards will have to vote on anything that the PNB approves because it'll require ratification by three local boards to take effect. Some of them will also require ratification by the members. But if you want to weigh in, you can read them and send feedback to the Pacifica National Board at pnb@pacifica.org. And I think that's all I have to report.
Margie, do you want to add? Okay, we'll give it to Janet, and then we'll see if Jose Luis wants to add. Joy, let's let the...
Got it.
Okay, so I have a question for Brian, and then I want to add some things. One, the question has to do with whether I kind of would like to see the CFO generate the financials on what's in the system anyway, for the, because the PNB has not seen any financials since at least I've been sitting on it, which is the end of January, so... How do we know what's going on at all, except for what this person says or that person says? And narratives are not good. We need to see actual figures. So if you would see, and Margie, and, request that financials be generated on what's there.
Yeah. Well,
with caveats, definite caveats.
Yeah.
No, this is...
So I've talked to him about that. I'm on the exact same page you are. He's expecting to generate preliminary financials at the end of the month. So he has a deadline on getting things ready to hand off to the auditors. That is his top priority right now. And as soon as that's in their hands, he can grind away at the financial statements. The first ones he issues are not going to be based on bank reconciliations because those will take longer than just entering the transactions. But that's the timetable he's given us, and I think it's reasonable given all the catch-up work that the national office has to do.
Right.
You're going to talk more. You got to use them.
I'm just going to say that one of the things we discovered was that the budgets for this fiscal year had not been put into the system. So that's just happening now, and that's part of the whole, you know, financial report business. So the individual stations know their budgets, and I'm sure are keeping track in one way or another. There are three business managers in the system. Maria here at KPFA, somebody named Napoleon in Los Angeles, and Markeisha, who works at the Texas station but handles the financials for KPFT, WBAI, and WPFW. So, you know, it's like we're working at it, and it's happening as fast as possible. But it's really hard to generate any kind of a report when the information is not in the system. And as Brian said, none of the receivables have been logged into the system for the entire fiscal year.
Well, there's also the assets and liabilities. I think that's something that we can...
Not without an opening balance.
Is there... The fiscal year start in July?
No. October 1st.
October 1st. Okay.
Okay, so whatever figures we can get the soonest, because we can't make decisions like, are we going to have an election, an LSB election?
Got it. You're starting to have a PNB board, so
well,
do the report.
Because I want to report about their... I'm on the election committee, and Margie is too, and so the last meeting didn't reach quorum. The meeting before that, the phone system was down. Anyway, so it keeps being pushed, and there's deadlines on both ends for having an LSB election, and I don't know. When it comes to timetable, we still don't know whether it's possible, and then even if it were timetable-wise, whether there would be money available. And then the other thing I'd like maybe Margie to talk about a little bit is the ED situation. The personnel committee, I'm on that as well, and that committee has been working on the ED job description, and it's not been finalized, but in the meantime, the Bernard Duncan has left, and so where are we at ED-wise? So.
Margie, is that all of your report? Okay.
As you know, Janet, the board has taken no action on appointing an interim executive director, and the board has taken no action on initiating the search for a permanent executive director. It's in the hands of the committee you serve on. By force of law, Margie, as chair of the national board, is unwillingly serving as our volunteer executive director right now.
I want to say that I had asked that a report on the ED search process be put on the agenda for the last meeting, and as you know, we never got to it. I have asked Janice Lane Ewart, who is the chair of that committee, to prepare a written report for the board so that we don't have to wait for a board meeting to have a report on where things are at. An IED to step in between now and the time we hire an ED, it's my very strong impression that we need some kind of a process to do that. I have a process which I'm just about ready to propose. I'm actually engaged in conversation with Heather Gray about that process, which strikes me as very odd. But anyway, that's what we need. We need a process, and we need to move quickly on the issue of the ED. And like Brian said, most days you can find me at 1925 MLK.
Jose Luis, do you have anything to add?
Just quickly, on the IED issue, just as in the issue of KPFA, KPFK's interim general manager, Richard, and what Richard said, we need to make cuts. Employees at the top have to be cut because we can't afford to keep them. That includes the IED. And we're lucky enough, fortunate enough, to have Margie Wilkinson volunteering unwillingly, forced by the PMB to assume the role of IED at no cost to us, at a savings to us. And until we get our act together, stop criticizing, trying to bring the station down with the different bad PR that people are engaged in the community, we need to save money. And this is one way of doing it.
Okay, Joy had something, and then Joy doesn't. Ramses Craig.
Oh, should I go? Yeah. Just going back to the report that Brian was doing, you mentioned about WBAI, but that you couldn't say too much about negotiations with the WBAI. But what's the nature of the negotiations? Can you share?
Sorry.
Craig.
Wasn't somebody else ahead?
No. Joy waved.
I'll go after.
Brian, coming back to the report about the financial office, the financial situation, you mentioned that you're discovering some bills haven't been paid for a year or for a long time, and it sounds like the financial office here, or the financial managers, it's been in complete disarray. And I'm asking, what's been happening? I mean, why are things so bad if that's the case? Did bills go unpaid because we didn't have the money, and that was that was just a consequence of not having the money, or were people like stashing the bills in the bottom drawer of their file cabinet? The budgets weren't entered. I mean, people must have been doing their jobs, but is there any explanation about why things look so disordered right now?
Margie may want to jump in on this, because actually I haven't been discovering anything. She and Raul, the CFO, have been.
Well, then pass her the mic.
And I've been picking their brains. But let me just say, the fact that things haven't been getting paid is almost certainly due to the fact that we're extremely cash poor. And one of the ways the national office has been managing that is basically not paying anything until they get sued for payment. The problem, to my mind, is that none of the accounts payable have been put into the accounting package, as they should be, whether we're paying them or not, right? That has no bearing. Whether we record them as an expense, which we should be accruing them as soon as we get the bill in the mail, has no bearing on whether there's cash going out our door. Without a comprehensive list of what's payable, how long it's been due for, and how long it's overdue, it's really hard to manage that cash situation. You can't do triage, take a look at a whole list of everything and say, what's our top priority to pay and what can we wait on? So there's two issues, right? One is that we don't have cash. The other is the bills in the bottom of the drawer, not in the accounting system. It makes it impossible to manage that situation of not having cash. Does that make sense?
I just want to say that I think what's happened is that bills have been paid on a crisis basis. So, for example, we have a relationship with something called PRSS. Please, the technical aspects of this.
Radio satellite system.
See. Anyway, totally. But it's how we get Democracy Now!, for example, and how we share Democracy Now! With our affiliate stations, of which there are over 200, okay, maybe 250 by now. It's something that's managed by NPR. We pay them a relatively modest fee on a regular basis for this service, but we didn't pay that bill until they threatened to cut us off, and at that point the bill was like $30,000 instead of, you know, whatever it was, a couple of thousand dollars a month. So just so people understand. And then all of a sudden there's like panic and hurry up, and we've got to get the money from somewhere to pay this so we can keep doing this. We were notified last week that we had lost our access to an HR service, which had been provided to us through our liability insurance, because they were uncomfortable with the fact that in the past Pacific has been sued on a number of occasions over personnel issues. So they insisted that we have access to a HR service, which we paid for on a monthly basis. Again, a very modest amount, but the bill hasn't been paid in full since last November of 2013, and as a result, we've lost our access to an HR service, which it's something that Raul and I are working on this week to try and correct. So you see what happens. It's been crisis management, and you know, to a certain extent, I don't think we can blame the people who were doing this. They were, you know, paying bills when it became a crisis. But the fact that we didn't have any, that we don't have the records and that we can't like make a judgment about what's going on based on information in front of us, normally an accounts payable aging report, makes it very difficult. And we're working really hard. We've got somebody, one of the accounting people now is literally working full time on creating that report by putting information in from either from invoices or statements.
Janet. Frank.
Right, and most, if not all, of these bills are central services, are P&O. That's what we're talking about, like the HR, the teleconference, other things like that. So it's not like KPFA isn't. But
well, that's not quite true.
All right, but let me finish my point,
okay.
And then you can. And so whatever the Pacifica National Office is responsible, whatever bills the P&O is responsible to pay, that comes out of central services. And that central services money comes from stations, and some of the stations have not been paying those central services, so that's one of the reasons why the national office hasn't been able to pay some of its bills. So anyway, it's kind of a little bit like that.
All right. We have Brian who wanted to answer that, but we also have Frank and Cynthia in line. Do you want? Go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the problems is that the intercompany accounts, which are the accounts that track how much the stations owe the national office and vice versa, have not been well kept and have not been reconciled for about a year. So every time the national office asks a station for money, they say, oh, we've paid you, or we've paid you too much, which may be the case, but there's no actual accounting of who owes who how much. Basically, the stations say, we've been waiting for our money from the CPB. The CPB gives money to the stations, not Pacifica, and until we get it, we can't pay you. But the other thing with some of these payables in the national office, for instance, the HR service, if there's something like, say, a sexual harassment allegation at the station level with a staff member there, and then the national office employs someone through its HR service who they get a good rate from to investigate that and dispose of it, it should be billed back to the station as a station expense through that intercompany account. But with the records a complete mess, there's no way to sort that out. So some of the things we're dealing with might more appropriately be station expenses, and we're just, it's both, right? And the real problem is the books are such a mess, we're completely in the dark about which is which.
Frank. Use the mic.
I was curious, you said mentioned that there had been like a lot of churn in the national office, and I remember a while back, like I heard, I can't remember the CFO guy's name, but there was some issue between some of the employees and him, and I was just curious if that was the case, that they couldn't work with that person, decided to resign, or if it was just time to move on. And also, is there someone else hired who's like doing all the work over there, or someone else taking their places? So like is Tamika gone? I saw her the other day. I don't know who's gone, who's there, or who's taking their place. Is there anybody else there now? So those are my questions. Like, did they resign because of the conflict with the person they're supposed to work with, and who's there doing the work?
I'm going to ask Joy to ask her question, and then both questions can be answered at once. Oh, I thought you were on the list. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, maybe Cynthia's on the list.
Oh, Cynthia was on the list, right.
Well, maybe Brian clarified some of this, but, you know, the precipitous actions of February, I got the impression that the national office, that they weren't getting the financials from all number of stations, so they had a hard time dealing with stuff. But maybe that's similar to what you were talking about, but it was just financials from the individual five stations, and so that just put them way behind. But maybe that had nothing to do with anything. They were getting all the financials from every station, to the best of our understanding.
So I think the thing that was brought up very publicly was bank reconciliations, okay, which is a step later than what I'm describing. So as far as I know, every station was making all of its bookkeeping entries. In other words, if they cut a check, an entry went into the accounting package. If they got a donation, an entry went into the accounting package, so it would show up at the national office. Several of the stations were not doing something they're supposed to do every month when they close their books, which is taking the bank statement, which is a really long statement, and checking every transaction on that bank statement against what's in our accounting package to make sure they match up. It's called a reconciliation. But although that's something we need to do, and we need to do it in order to go through an audit, it's not something we need to do to generate preliminary financial statements like Janet's asking for. The entries that didn't happen at all were all in the national office, where cash transactions were not being recorded, where payrolls were not being recorded. Some payroll transactions weren't even run through the payroll service, which means payroll taxes weren't withheld from them and paid to the IRS. So it's a mess.
As for the staffing in the national office, there have been two formal resignations. I was copied on both letters, and neither of them mentioned any kind of a conflict in the office. One of the resignation letters simply said, I'm leaving, and the other one talked about personal reasons, but didn't explain. And we've not conducted exit interviews with any of those people. I was happy when Janet asked Richard those questions, because I think those are appropriate questions for an exit interview, and I think we should start doing that. That should be a Pacifica policy, that when people leave their jobs, we should do exit interviews, and I hope to see that done in the future. So the rehires were, there was, someone was hired through an open recruiting, which means the job was posted in a newspaper and on, I think, Craigslist and I don't know where else, an account, I don't know what he's called, an accountant, and that person is working, and he's working on getting the accounts payable system up to date. And then Brian talked about a former accountant who was rehired, and we've just brought back someone who was laid off in February for lack of funds. In February, the national office was had a really hard time making payroll, and so he was the most recent hire in the office and was let go because there wasn't enough money to pay him, and he's coming back now because we don't have such a big payroll anymore.
I think that we're done with the PNB report. Right. Okay. Break. We will take a 10-minute break, and then we will come back and do the treasurer's report. Thank you. So that means...